You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Talking to you from our studio in Costa del Sol. Where exactly is that? You'll find out more as time goes on. But tonight we're talking about immigration. We're talking about the psychological aspects of immigration. We're especially talking about resiliency and how moving to a new country, for whatever the reason, whether it's to escape political strife in the country you're from, whether it's to venture out to a new adventure. Maybe you're retiring, you're leaving where you lived for many years and you're trying something new. Perhaps you just want to get out to a new country, a new situation. Many reasons. And because of that, spirit, that partly free spirit, but partly wanting, yearning to be free, yearning to have your own control over your own destiny, it can build a resilience when you face challenges, the challenges of being an immigrant. So today we're going to talk about three studies. We're going to talk about a study about entrepreneurs who are from different Eastern European countries who go to I think it's Denmark, and they open businesses in Denmark and the challenges they face as business people in a new country, new culture, new language. We're then going to talk about children from South America who have traveled to the United States to try to obtain a better life for themselves, and that may be with or without family. So we're going to look at the dynamics of traveling as an immigrant with or without your family as a child. And then lastly, there's a study, a research paper that was written about academic women who are from a different country, who have gone to another country to teach in a college, and how they experience cultural challenges, language challenges, you know, new country.
Yeah, many factors.
Many factors. And Lisette, of course, which you may have known this, has gone through this herself. And in fact, many people that we know have had the same or similar situations. Every situation is different, of course. We're going to talk about a bit about that.
Yeah.
What do you think? Good. Sounds good. And the resiliency it builds. Well, just before the show, Lisette and I were talking about people who do venture out to a new country. And let's just talk about from, say, a business sense. They're looking for an opportunity. So they travel to a new country for an opportunity. And they go through the challenges in that new country. And then they come back to the country they left. And what were you saying about that?
Yeah, based upon that you feel go back to your original country, sometimes people feel it's like, I fail. You know, feel like they is not successful. Immigration, I always recommend that is a good experience to share yourself. Based upon that, maybe you lose money or lose family or lose relationship, you win many experience, you become more strong to understand also different culture, diversity, different kind of behavior of the people. So you coming back different, and that is a plus.
You do. And I think one of the things that we want to accomplish in tonight's show is not give good or bad reasons. We want to give paint this with a broad brush. We want to understand that people do make this journey because they're looking to escape from something. They're looking for a better life. They're looking maybe they're sending their children, or maybe they're going with their family. But many immigrants are trying something new that many of us don't go through, and to understand, to, as I say, walk a mile in their shoes and understand the life they choose, can give you a feeling of what it takes to make this journey. And here's the studies. The studies, these were done in 2023, 2025, and 2026. They're research studies, which means that they are qualitative or quantitative studies about immigration. And again, Eastern European entrepreneurs who went to Denmark. We have academic women who went to a country, you know, changed cultures and went to another country to teach. And then children, South American children who came to the USA and what they went through. What's important is that these are emotional struggles. They're not, some of it's not any different than some of the psychological things we go through, say, first day of elementary school, first day of middle school. If you and your family just move from one state to another, or you're in Europe in one country or one area of your country to another, you don't know people. It may be a different culture. It may be a slightly different dialect.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have the support system that you had.
And also, immigrating in the same language sometimes have a challenge because you have some terminology, you have some way to do the stuff. And when you figure out in the new country, it's a bit different. And then you need to be humble and customize yourself because you cannot change the system. You need to change yourself.
That's true. And even if you speak the same language, the words, the phrasing, the connotation can be different.
Yeah.
And you can believe you're meaning the same thing. But we've had a show on language where just because of the culture where that language grew up, there's things that are in the language, and the language also helps develop the culture that you may not be familiar with. So you may have a understanding of language or an understanding of language from where you grew up, which means blue to you means one thing, where blue to somebody else means something else in a different area of the world or a different part of the country.
Yeah.
So these are things that even if it's the same language, it can be difficult enough. The challenge also with the same language is that you assume, at least when it's a foreign language, you may assume that you don't actually understand what the other person is saying. So you may want to try to understand better what they are saying than somebody who speaks your own language. And we've talked about that too, where in a relationship between two people, the similarity of language can make people complacent and go, oh, I know them. This is how they are because this is how they speak. But because of our different upbringings, not only cultural or ethnic or geographic, we have differences of how we view things. So let's continue on with this. Oh, we also talked about people who change careers. Suddenly they're in a different field. Like if you retire or you leave a job and take a new job, those first weeks, if not months, maybe even years, if it's been long enough that you've been in one job or in one place or working your whole life, that you feel out of place. You feel that you don't have a team. You don't have this support network. And that's what it's like to be an immigrant.
I see more difficult also when the people have some a strong career, it's more difficult to immigrant versus the people don't have, because figure out a doctor, a lawyer, so you go to different country, you're not allowed to, your title is no value other country because you have to work different job versus if somebody maybe is a mechanical or electrical person, maybe just is easy to introduce to the new country. So when I see people, many people with engineer or medical doctors,
yes,
it's a frustration because you see doctor working in restaurants like the waitresses. So.
But what we have seen, and we're in Spain today, we've seen people who have changed countries, say HVAC technicians, people who know air conditioning, and that skill is required in the new country. And since it's a specific skill that can almost be tested and understood pretty quickly, they may hire somebody with a technical background from another country in that type of position. But a hospital can't hire a doctor from a different country unless they've got some kind of program. And so they lose that ability. Where also a lot of these have to do with jobs that are communicating jobs, right? So if you're a doctor, you need to be able to communicate in the language of the culture where you're going. Where if you're an HVAC technician or an auto mechanic or a plumber, you may not need to communicate as much as you got to do the work and you have to do it correctly. And that's highly valued, wow. Right? And if the doctor can't be spoken with in the hospital, you know, that's difficult. So as Lizette said, there are doctors that we know who have to go to a new country and they end up, you know, house cleaning for somebody.
Yeah.
And not that that's a bad or a good job. It's just that the highly developed skill that they had in the country that they came from, the years of education, can be gone in a flash.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about immigration, resiliency, and what we can learn from it. One of the things that we learned from these three research papers, is a term called post-traumatic growth. It's getting through the trauma, you know, getting through the challenge, getting through the obstacles and barriers, and that when we do get through that, or when the immigrants get through that in these three different papers, there's growth. The growth is there's a self-reliance. There's I took action and I was able to achieve. There is I networked with my community. I networked with others in similar positions, I networked with others who could help me and I could help them. That there are these things that would not have happened if it had not been for the challenge and the stress and the anxiety that they had to overcome.
Yeah, so losing all connection, I always say, is the more critical point when you have your own doctor, your own mechanical, your own your family support for your kids. So
you lose that, and then how do you regain it? And those who seem to regain, get connections, have support, have systems, are able to more quickly overcome and have reduced anxiety and better outcomes.
Yeah.
Let's continue on here. So faith communities, the study found that spiritual communities can help many immigrant families and helped many immigrant families cope emotionally. So you get to a new location, and just think about this, if you move, if you go somewhere, getting into a faith community, there can be support. If you're with a child and the child gets sick, you're like, well, how do I find help? You can ask somebody in this faith community, because there seems to be something that binds and ties people together, you know, spiritually. So That's a strength.
Yeah, you know the history about one of the friends that have to immigrate to South America, and then the child becomes sick, and really, really sick, so have a cancer, and he's not a religious person, so he say, well, how I go through this situation? And he say one day he walk in looking for answer, and so one church, I don't know which one is, and he go in and he found a group of people that become friends with him, visiting the hospital, most the family, the few family that he have with the kids, so he feel like a strong group support make he go through the process more soft.
So that is an example of connection, community connection, faith connection. So it's faith, it's family, it's friends, it's neighbors, it's maybe people you meet at work or in the environment where you are. Maybe it is people from the government who are helpful Maybe it are, it are. Maybe it is language therapy in the new country. You go to a program, and I remember when Lizette was first in the United States many years ago, she was in a language program at a local library, and the people that she met there that were going through the same thing. So people in similar situation can become a support network that, hey, how did you get this done? How did you find this out? That ability to reach out to others in a similar situation is something that we can learn, whether or not we're, quote, immigrants or moving or changing in our life. But if we're looking to accomplish something, go from inaction to action, we can follow almost the immigrant pattern of how do the successful immigrants behave.
And you need to be open to allow, to trust people, to connect in. So I guess right now the society is soft. Close the, oh, I feel concerned to talk with my neighbor because I don't know who is my neighbor. I concerned to maybe have some lunch with my colleague in the office because I don't know who is these people. So you start to become more insulate and lose the connection there when you don't have, you need to challenge and trust and take a risk.
And trust. And that's a tough thing, right? Trusting people. So we did a show many, many, many weeks ago, months ago, maybe. It was about how do you build trust in a relationship. And we talked about couples therapy. And I was going to try to weave that into this. And this is an appropriate spot, is that in couples therapy, we talk about empathy, you know, having a heart, having a kindness and listening to the other person, understanding that other person by understanding where they came from, the struggles that they went through, a vulnerability, which means allowing yourself to share with others, you know, how you feel, that the challenges and the struggles that are going on in your life. And with that, you develop the trust. And with the trust, you develop the communication, because now you share more. And as you understand the other person more, maybe it's a language barrier, but as you break that down and you understand your neighbor more, your friends more, the extended family that you never knew until you moved to the new country or the new place, as you trust them more, communication grows. And so the same thing we see with couples therapy, you have just with relationships with new people you meet. Let's continue on here. Parent advocacy. So the mothers, and this goes into the study with the children, the mothers in the study actively search for counselors, schools, resources, and emotional support for their children. In doing so, they were not just waiting and sitting back. They weren't waiting for things to improve, but they were actively participating in the solution. These are properties of the successful immigration stories. So if you look at the stories of the people who were successful, who said their children were the most adaptive, the families that had the most cohesion, those that were closest to their community, those were the ones that outreached more. The parents, the mothers, especially the mothers in this case, were going out and seeking help. And they didn't sit there passively waiting for things to improve. Resiliency is an active thing. You can't be passively resilient.
Yeah.
Right?
It's action.
Action.
Yeah.
And this is almost like cognitive behavioral therapy in a way. So you figure out what you need to overcome. You figure out how you're going to feel if you overcome it. You say, what's my first step to overcoming it? And you take action. So it's like you start in the mind and then you take the action, and the small steps moving you forward is almost parallel. You know, it's the program, the process of cognitive behavioral therapy in a way.
And also see opportunity versus problem or situation. So when you have some situation, not thinking it's a problem, thinking it's opportunity. So your brain start to say, okay, it's opportunity, what I can do for this, what kind of option I can have benefit with this situation versus put in the position that, oh, I am victim of this situation, I don't have hope. So you lose resilience.
And speaking of that, I just turned the page in the presentation that I'm looking at here, and I thought of you. This is about entrepreneurs moving to a new country. And this is about the Eastern European entrepreneurs who went to Denmark. But I'm going to switch this to Lizette going to the United States many years back and going to Mexico and going to Panama and going to different countries looking for business, seeking business. And what it turned out that the business ownership was a survival strategy for many immigrants. Now, you already had business, but it was how do you start up in a new country? And it was go after business.
You know, so we failed the first time. I opened the first company in Texas, and we have just one customer and no make money. And I have to close and open a new one. So it's not like that you failed, you keep going.
So what's the challenge? The challenge is trying to figure out how to do business in the new environment.
Yeah.
And in this study, it showed that the entrepreneurs who are most actively, constantly changing their approach to figure out how to work within the new environment were the ones that were successful. Those who just said, I'm just going to keep doing it the way I was doing it, they weren't.
Yeah.
Networking. So those who sought out networking, you know, not networking within their own community, but networking in the new community, getting to know the new people. Hey, I know I'm not going to be doing business with you because you don't need what I have to offer, but can you give me advice? Can you help me out here? It was reaching out. So you go back to, you know, you tried different things. I remember we did a presentation to, what was it, the state of Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't turn into something, but it gave us our first business relationship together.
Yeah.
So we were able to do something together. It wasn't something that either of us probably thought was an opportunity before the opportunity came to us, actually came to you, but it was something that you would probably have not thought about in Venezuela, going to the United States and trying to do something with the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, but you were there in the United States, in Alabama, and the opportunity came up. So it's making the best effort to the opportunities that come your way. So quickly and actively changing the direction to meet the market demand. That was another one of the successful or key success points of the entrepreneurs, those who were agile, those who were able to change direction quickly and look at what was the opportunity that they had and follow the new path. Entrepreneurship, and going back to immigration to a new country, is that you may, as you said, you may lose your professional tie. Okay, so I'm a lawyer. I go to the new country. I can't be a lawyer, but I'm going to just start car detailing, and I start detailing cars, cleaning them, washing them, doing this, and I network, and I start a bigger business, and then like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become an entrepreneur. I'm going to hire three people to help me with this business, and you change what you're doing. And so entrepreneurship became an avenue to have freedom in the new country for many of these immigrants. Adapting quickly to changes in the situation. So when situations change, adapt quickly. That was one. So adaptability increases survival. Let's look at what's next on here. Beyond familiarity. Oh, going beyond what you're familiar with. So that means you don't recognize something, not being afraid of going, what is it? Let me understand it better. So many entrepreneurs stopped focusing on only the immigrant communities that they were part of and started going outside. So say near Philadelphia or near Pennsylvania, if you're in the Spanish community, instead of only operating in the Spanish community, going outside, inviting in maybe non-Spanish speaking customers. And we're
teaching a lot.
We taught that.
Yeah, many people, because the language barriers, feel more confident to talk with Spanish people. But if you see a statistic, I many times say how many customers you can have in Spanish versus English. So
right.
It's almost 80% versus 20. So why you not be focusing the 80% and maybe you have more business? So that's some kind of the the barrier or the belief that many immigrants have. I know that they grow your own because I see Asian group, I see Arabian group have a community and they grew up and this, but it's really insulate.
Yes. So
you need to open to.
And something that takes two studies and kind of puts them together, the older children who were able to speak English who came from South America were being the interpreters for their family, for their parents who didn't speak English as much as they did. They were able to pick it up quicker, the older children. They were going to school where they were speaking English. They were becoming the contact in the community. You go to now the entrepreneur, and maybe they are unfamiliar with the language, but maybe they can look at that younger generation and team up with them. Is that, okay, I can run the business because I know what it is, but you can be the communicator. And that's something is that might be out of your comfort zone because you're so used to doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. Trusting youth. How can you trust the youth? Mm-hmm. But that is one of the things. It's like, how can you trust your neighbor? Well, I think from our understanding or from our background, we believe that most people are trustworthy. And it's where you have to prove that you aren't rather than prove that you are. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you accept people as trustworthy, also as you network with people, you network with the familiar to the unfamiliar, and maybe you network through people you're familiar with to go and grow that connection, that size of your connections. Whoops. Word of mouth and trust. We need to talk about that. There we go. Resilient people grew by constantly learning and adapting. And it's a kind of a repeat of what we discussed, but it's like they broke these findings into these subcategories where they call this dynamic capabilities theory, that by changing your capabilities quickly and adapting, dynamically adapting your capabilities, you are able to handle the changes in the business landscape.
Situation, because yeah. I remember in COVID time, you know, so we are locked and I say, I have to do something for this. And I start to develop training online because I say that is coming. And right now it's almost 6 years after COVID and the training lines start to be more strong.
It's very big. Mm-hmm. Yes. So yeah. They said three things entrepreneurs who are successful learned. They were able to notice opportunities, take action quickly, and evolve. So notice what's going on, take action quickly, and evolve. That means the changing, you know, dynamically changing your capability. That resilient people do not remain emotionally frozen, right? So you have the fight or flight, and then there's the third one, freeze. You don't fight and you don't flee. You just do nothing. And so you have to look at fighting as not you have to take on the environment and fight and be angry and upset, but the fight is I need to be able to learn and move and dodge and weave and make the connection. It's not a punch connection, but it's maybe a social connection. It's a business connection. It's a friendship connection. It's the fight is use the maybe the anger, that the subtext of anger. You know, you talk about survival and we get angry because we're in fear of our survival, but use that anger not to lash out, but that anger to change, that anger to evolve. Okay, I'm angry of my current situation. Let me use that as a motivating force, right?
Well, sometimes people like when say the way that I can do that is because I become obsessive to this stuff. So become obsessive is a main, is your motivational way to achieve something, and you after you don't achieve, you're gonna stop. So that's
just keep doing and doing and doing and doing. these businesses, these entrepreneurs in Denmark, these Eastern European immigrants who became successful, they relied heavily on word of mouth marketing. So I did a whole seminar on that many, many years ago. The best marketing of all the marketing of any marketing out there. It's not digital, it's not print, it's not radio, it's not TV, for those of you who are old enough to remember when TV was a marketing thing, but it's word of mouth. That when you have trust of consumers, trust of customers, trust of people, and they recommend you, and they're happy that they did business with you, that is the best advertising. It's the best,
Right now it's reviews. So every time they were looking for, or somebody want to do service for repair your kitchen, you go to Google, say repair kitchen close to you, and then just the first way, see how many reviews have this company? And you read a review, you maybe not contact the company because it's so bad.
Right.
Or maybe you contact because have a good reference. This is Mao.
Five stars. Yeah, right. So you're looking for people with a high amount of stars and a large number. Oh, we've got two reviews and it's five stars. It's the mother and the son of the business owner who rated it. The entrepreneurs built diverse social networks. So diverse networks, not focused on, and we talked about the not only serving your own community, but expanding out beyond your community. So resilience is reaching out beyond who you would normally be with. And this, again, in a relationship, if we want to grow our relationship, we may need to do new things together that is outside, or that those things are outside our comfort zone. And we can learn that we will be more successful in our relationship the more things we do together, the more things we learn and like together, the more we grow together. So this is what we're trying to do, is take the learnings from this resiliency of immigrants and say, how do we make ourselves in a relationship resilient? Part of it is to understand what the immigrant situation is, whether we're in it or someone else is. So maybe we appreciate it. Maybe we are more understanding. At the same time, we can learn. We can learn from the success.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan, and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
For example, if it's somebody, again, the doctor topic, but you remember one friend, so take some course about nurse. So it's not like the 7-year career versus a 1-year assistant in the nurse,
right,
hospital. So you have all this knowledge. You just take this certificate. You may be working in the environment that you know, and it's a reinvention. So now you know, are the doctor, you are the health person, and you need to love what you do versus the typical say, so I want to do what I love. It's better love what you do.
Right. But not as a doctor. Mm-hmm. So it's a familiar place. They get to have coworkers that are familiar. They may be able to have a certain amount of conversation with doctors. Maybe they have more opportunity for growth in nursing. And then maybe there's other programs that people recommend for them.
No, so I guess it's a high performance nurse because have all knowledge of the doctor, but as a nurse, it's a plus for the hospital, you know. But I have other real case of the friend, the chick coming from the university, again, teaching for many years, and she immigrate, and she was also entrepreneur in other countries, have two immigrations. Mm. So the first immigration, she opened up a store with like the healthy food, and working for 4 or 5 years, running employees, feed up this shop. I was stressful. So jumping to this, become an entrepreneur, She immigrated for second time, and I'm sometime of the age when that I guess you know really what you want versus what you feel emotion. She
right.
become a one position employees like the reception.
Yes.
And I say, why you do that? I said, I don't wanna stress. I don't wanna handle people. I wanna just when it's at 5 p.m. I forget whatever, go home and just work in the own time. Versus when you are entrepreneur, you bring your work
right.
or home, your mind, everything.
I control everything, but I have to be in control of everything. Whereas the other is, okay, I just do this.
I close the door.
And then at the end, I don't have to worry tomorrow.
And then, okay. But you need to be clear that you want this.
Yeah.
You know, they beat the boss. And also the interesting, when she was interviewed, the owner of the company said, you are offered qualified to the position. So receptionist versus mm-hmm. be owner and
yeah.
teacher university. And say, yes, I know. I want to be there. I want to
wow.
stay in this stuff. You know what you want. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's more easy.
Oh my gosh. So one of the things, and you talk about somebody in a new place, and one of the things this paper talked about is identity strain. So the strain of losing your identity, because you come from a country and a culture, an area, and you have connection, and you then go and you've changed now. It's a different job, and you're no longer who you used to be. One is you're not living in the same place. You don't have the same neighbors, the same friends, the same family. And now you don't even have the same job. It's like, who am I? Right? So that was one of the struggles that the women in New Zealand and Australia had, where they were like, who am I? I'm now in this new place and I feel out of place. So who am I in this new system? So where do I belong? How do I fit? How do I feel comfortable? So when you have a major life change, it can create identity crisis. You know, when you're no longer working, you go, well, what am I? Who do I do? What do I do? What am I? What's the name I should? What do I put on my LinkedIn profile? You know, I don't know. So those things. One of the interesting details is that the women first connected professionally online and discovered shared emotional experiences. So they connected with the other women and the other people in their similar situation online before even meeting up with them. And they started to have some emotional connections. So one way of, again, feeling like you're fitting in is to find people in a similar situation and connect with them. So the connection did what? It reduced isolation.
Yeah.
Which is very important. When people realize that they're not the only one feeling something, but others are also in their same situation, that can also help reduce anxiety. It gives them a sounding board, gives them someone to speak with, it gives them somebody to help them lower their emotions.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Shared experiences, it's been shown when you share experiences, it can also lower loneliness. So having someone to talk to. If you feel isolated and you act isolated and you stay out and you stay lonely, and because you're lonely, you feel, say, a little bit depressed or sullen, and therefore you don't want to go and meet people, then you stay more lonely. And so it becomes a cycle. And part of it is if you can break, you have to get outside your comfort zone. And we talked about that early on in today's show, is sometimes you have to do something that you might not be used to. And when you move and now you're even more isolated than you were because everything's unfamiliar, that's when you may have to take that step that you may not have been comfortable about doing in the past and going out and meeting people in your new community.
Yeah.
So many people underestimate how psychologically devastating exclusion can be. So excluding yourself or being excluded from others can really hurt people psychologically, emotionally. So we, you know, you can't reach out to others by waiting for them to reach out to you. It was like, we can't passively, and it was early on in this show that you can't passively be resilient.
Yeah.
You have to actively be resilient.
Hey, this is when you measure yourself, how you have the capacity to go to one coffee shop and start to talk with some stranger. And many people don't do that. And do that is a one way that you can have connection, that you can break your loneliness.
It's like you go to your new community and you go, hey, is this a community? You talk to somebody. Is this a community where people talk with each other? No, they don't. Okay, well, maybe. Yes, they do. How's your name? You know, if you can, and you can start those connections. And if you frequent places and you can become, quote, a regular and, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe it's the person behind the counter. And I think where we are today in Spain, we're lucky in a way is that there's more longevity in some of these positions. Like you go to a restaurant and the same people, because it's a lot of times these are entrepreneurial families, that it's the same people that are there year after year, and you can develop a sort of relationship with them. Whereas many of the restaurants, I think where we came from, the United States, is that maybe the owner is, you know, the same person for a number of years, but, you know, all of the front of house employees or college students
change every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
So one of the psychological aspects that is part of these papers is something called belonging theory. Belonging. That we feel more comfortable when we feel accepted and valued. That people emotionally thrive. So if you're talking about running a company or in a family or in a relationship, is when somebody feels welcomed, when someone feels accepted and valued, that emotionally they thrive. So if you can create that environment for others, and you talk about that for those of you who have children, when their children feel like they belong and they're accepted and valued, that they'll thrive. So part of motivational theory, when you talk about industrial and organizational psychology, is creating a workplace where people feel that they're welcomed, they're accepted, they're valued, that they're given training opportunities, where you're building them up as people. And when you do that and they feel valued, they thrive. So this, all these things overlay on one another. Belonging also protects health. So there's, when people feel good, there's a sense of well-being. When people have a sense of well-being, they create a chemistry within their body, which has been shown to lead to healthier, just basically healthier outcomes.
I for go back to the original topic is when you are immigrant, you feel that you not belong anywhere. Because when you return to your own country, you don't feel belong there. When you go or stay in the country you immigrate, you don't feel belong there. So you feel, and I remember this feeling that one day, based upon day travel every week and then in the plane, and say, I don't feel belonging anywhere, you know? So is a positive? Is a negative? Maybe you become more portable because you can be in whatever place because you don't belong, but the belong theory make you also feel more strong or safe.
It does. It does. And again, having people in a similar situation makes you feel better too, because you have people to talk to. Something that we discussed early on, which is now part of this whole paper, is something called brain waste, where people are highly qualified to do things, but their expertise is undervalued because they're in a new culture, because the credentials that they had in their old culture are not accepted in the new, because their language is different, because there's no reciprocity of degrees. So, you know, oh yeah, you've got your engineering degree in the United States, but in Spain, who cares? You know, so there's this thing called brain waste, that we have people who are highly educated and we're losing out on the value that they can add to society. And this is especially true, you know, we talked about in the United States, and we just talked about the doctor who is now working as a nurse in a hospital after getting trained to be a nurse because her credentials of a doctor weren't acceptable in the United States.
Yeah.
So, and that happens again and again. Just imagine becoming highly skilled in the United States. I'm going to say that, or any country. You know, you're in your country and you go to school, you go to high school, you become highly skilled in accounting in the United States, and you move to another country and they're like, okay, I don't care about your master's in accounting because our accounting system's different. We don't accept your degree anyway. And I don't know what you're going to do, but we can't hire you as an accountant. We can't accept your degree. So there's this brain waste. You have somebody who's very educated. There may be a mismatch in the education. Like, this education isn't actually good here, but there may be people who are professionally could be good in the country, but because it's not an acceptable educational credential, it's not accepted, or because of the language barrier that people say.
The simple accent.
Simple accent.
Yes, I lived out in the beginning. I remember one history that I was in one outed, and you remember the lady asked me if I read English, and she drop some paper in the table. He said, you can read English? And I said, okay.
Oh, my. So there is also that. There's also that people make assumptions and stereotypes, and that can be hard and harsh on people.
Yeah. And for the revenge, it should become my friend.
Oh, I remember her.
Uh-huh.
The interesting thing was, one of the studies, the one about the women in Australia and New Zealand, they used this study. They actually did they wrote about themselves. So they took their organized pain, meaning they took their pain, they organized it into papers, and they wrote about their own history. So the research study was based upon multiple stories that were written by the people who were the actual subject of the research. So somebody took these different papers and then, based upon the histories of these people, made a conclusion. And so it's a qualitative, not a quantitative, but a qualitative assessment of these people in the Australian and New Zealand higher educational system. There's a shared pattern across all the papers. All three studies showed that the same pattern existed, which was connection reduced suffering. So connection between people helped to reduce the suffering of these immigrants, which led to resilience. On the other hand, isolation increased emotional distress. So don't be isolated. Aim for connection. This pattern exists in marriages, in friendships, in parenting, in grief, addiction, and mental health too. So again, connection reduces suffering, isolation increases distress, and these patterns exist across the board. Human connection protects mental health. That seems pretty straight, right? Optimism helps across the board. So optimism in this one paper was specifically talking about the entrepreneurs, that it repeatedly discussed that being optimistic about your chances of success, being optimistic about your business potential, being optimistic when talking with others increased your success and helped with your growth ambition. So it helped people adapt despite uncertainty. Optimism helps people recognize pathways to overcome challenges. When you're pessimistic, you're looking for bad outcomes. When you're optimistic, you're looking for good outcomes. Again, people can be optimistic and pessimistic and not take action, and in both of them, it doesn't matter. But if you are looking to be resilient, you need to be active. And optimism at least gives you the opportunity to look for solving, a way to solve a challenge, to overcome it. Where pessimism, you're only looking at the possible negative outcomes. Thank you for watching 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.